Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Cody. Cody Stutes in for Lance. Lance is off all of this week because he's lazy. And so it'll be me and Cody today, me and Brad Kellner tomorrow, me and Dell of Fred. I like to call him of Fred because he's one of the three Freds that's going forward here on the sports map side. Yeah, so breaking up the wheelhouse over the next couple of days. Are you so Cody in here? He's usually on in the afternoon in the wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. What about getting done with your day at 10 o'clock in the morning?
I'm not gonna know what to do with myself.
Well, what do you mean you're not gonna know? You got the whole day.
I know. I spend the whole day trying to keep Jake and BK between the lines.
No,
you know, getting ready for that.
Well, but this is perfect, Cody. Don't you understand?
Well, that's if
you go golf. You can go drink all day.
Yes.
You can go play poker.
Yes.
I mean, do you have a wife?
I don't.
You don't?
No.
You don't. This is what perfect job for you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you don't.
No.
Why would you do that?
Don't do that.
Of all the things to do,
golf,
that would be
poker
last
instead.
On Dell's list.
Yeah.
See, Dell worked this shift, and he was able to, as a single guy, well, he liked to nap all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I take advantage of it. I go play golf. I go play poker. I go play, you know, my wife doesn't get off till late because she actually works for a living, has a good job.
Right.
So I have all this free time to just do the stuff that I like to do.
Hit up a good restaurant for the lunch specials?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, you have to work in the afternoon, so you have to get ready all day. You always got that hanging over you. When I worked afternoons, I did the afternoons over on was Yahoo Sports at the time, now it's SportsMap. I did that with Sean Salisbury,
mm-hmm.
I have to get up early to play golf, but I always knew it was nagging. I couldn't drink all the Coors Lights I wanted to drink because I had to work in the afternoon. So I had a limited number of Coors Lights. So now you have unlimited.
I do.
Coors Light. You can be as irresponsible as you like today.
That's my plan.
That is?
10:01, just be irresponsible.
What are you going to do? I don't even know?
I know for sure I need to go. I got a wedding this weekend that I'm going to, and so I got to go get a suit.
Oh.
You know what black tie optional means?
Yeah, don't wear a black tie.
What?
Because it's optional. If it says optional, then guess what? I ain't wearing no black tie.
Nobody could tell me like what the exact thing I should
it's
wear
a
for
suit.
That. Just
it's
a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You can wear.
So not a tuxedo.
No. You can wear a tuxedo.
No, I'm not going to do
but
that.
But you're not. That's right. It's optional. You just gave me the reason not to wear
correct.
A tuxedo. It's what a well, who's getting married with black tie optional?
You know,
who is this?
It's a buddy of mine's son. So I'm probably the last like 10 people invited.
You're not that old, Cody.
I'm
wait a minute. Hold on a second. I was going to say you're right in the wheelhouse of everybody getting married now.
Right. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Because, yeah, when you're 25 to 35 to 40, your buddies get married. So you have your buddy's son?
Yeah, my buddy's son.
How old is this person?
It's like about my age getting married.
You wait.
No. So. Not my buddy. My buddy is older than me.
Oh, you have an old friend.
Yeah, I have an old friend.
Oh, yeah.
Co-worker who became a friend.
Because I have kids that aren't even getting married. And you know
right,
what?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and we've got a little bit of an age difference. So, okay. So, yeah, don't wear them. Are you crazy? No.
No, yeah.
No black tie. Just wear a suit.
But I can't wear my typical, like, sport coat and, like, pants. I need to wear
probably
like, matching.
Wear a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, should wear
yeah.
a suit, probably.
Yeah, well, I need to go get a suit.
Then. Yeah. Yeah. That dude, he's kind of screwing up his life, isn't he? Kind of like the Texans are screwing up their lives. They're so stupid. They're so stupid. I mean, what? They could screw up a soup sandwich. Why are you winning? Why are you beating the Titans? I mean, it's just 5 turnovers again. Dude, what is with the... First of all, it's Ryan Tannehill. So,
boy, he turned into Miami Tannehill real quick yesterday.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was Miami, and then it was Tennessee, and it was two quarterbacks that are just throw it anywhere. What's the difference? Just throw it up there and see what happens. Yeah, because if you don't, without Derrick Henry. Now, I asked this last week of all our experts. Who's the best team in the AFC? Well, it's the Titans. Well, it's the Titans. Well, it's the Titans. It ain't the Titans.
No.
It ain't. It's still the Chiefs. And they're going, and you know what? I'm so pissed because you could have got them at 2,800.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, they were four.
What were we all doing?
Yeah.
Like, why did we not all have, like, second mortgage out on that?
Well, we were at the opening of the sports book in Lake Charles at the DraftKings sports book, and Mac asked us, so tell me from each conference. And Matt and Lance and I both went Ravens and who did we say? Packers. Ravens, Packers.
Okay.
And we're so dumb. The Chiefs are the best team, and Chiefs. It's not even arguable.
And then you could have, you probably 3-4 weeks ago, you probably could have gotten Mahomes at like,
oh yeah,
40-1, 50-1 for the MVP.
Yeah,
not that he was like amazing or anything, but just if they turn it around, the narrative's going to be that he's been awesome doing it.
I don't remember if Derrick Henry was hurt already when we were doing that, but Derrick Henry being gone, it is so you can't ride Tannehill's arm. I mean, they found out you can't run the ball all that well. Guess what's going to happen? You're not going to win a football game. What was amazing, the Texans winning with this offense.
It is hard to watch at different times.
190 yards total offense.
John, they had 22 yards in their final seven drives. 22 yards in their final seven drives.
You know, if it wasn't for Tannehill, didn't you get the feeling, Uncle Mo was squarely on Tennessee's side?
I was thinking about this as I was going through and thinking about the game. If they don't get that muffed punt,
yeah,
they do not score a touchdown in the second half. And,
no.
And Tennessee probably wins the football game.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like Chester Rogers trying to get out of the way. The ball just like seems to find him, hit off his. Because they did not. They could not move the football with the exception of like one solid drive. Like everything else was just like, it was like, it's like pulling teeth with this offense, man. Even when the offensive line was like playing kind of decent yesterday, it's like pulling teeth. And Tim Kelly, I mean, if I could sit from my couch and know exactly what they're about to do on offense, having just watched them on TV over the course of this season, every defensive coordinator's got to know, oh, well, when they line up like this, they're doing that. Like,
yeah.
Like he is, like, I mean, it's like playing, you ever play the old QB1 back in the day? Like, they used to have it at Nick's place.
Yeah.
Like, and Tim Kelly would be the easiest offensive coordinator to do QB1. But, oh, they're coming. Oh, okay, yeah, no, that's a run left. Yeah, like, it is so easy to figure out what they're doing. And somehow, some way, you know, the Titans turn it over a couple times. They get good field position. And the next thing you know, the Texans have enough points to hold on to this thing. But you knew at halftime, coming out of halftime, you knew that was going to be a turtled offense in the second half. They were not going to make any mistakes.
Yeah.
Tyrod's coming off all the turnovers last week.
But Tyrod was Tyrod, I think. But everybody calls him Tyrod. He was so good at the beginning of the season, and he's so bad again now. What the hell happened to him? I know he was hurt, and he had the hamstring, and he sat for a while. He sat his whole career, and he's been able to come in and look good. He looks terrible. I mean, I understand he doesn't have any weapons. Chris Conley and Brandon Cooks, and I mean, it's just awful. It's just I get it. But man, something. Here's their drives. Second half, 13 plays, 40 yards, punt. 13 plays, 40 yards. It's almost impossible to have 13 plays and 40 yards. Oh, goodness gracious. Three plays, 5 yards, touchdown.
Right.
Three plays minus 2 yards, punt. Three plays, 9 yards, punt. Three plays, 1 yard, punt. Three plays, 9 yards, punt. Four plays, minus 4 yards, field goal. Three plays, minus 6 yards, punt. Goodness gracious. That is awful. It is awful. And yet they're 2-8, and they screwed it up. I mean, you see what the Lions are doing? Okay, if the Texans played the Lions today, who wins?
I'm going to ask a stupid question.
Where? Who cares? They played in this studio. Okay, who wins?
That might be another tie.
The Lions would kill them.
You think so?
Yes. The Lions are playing people tough.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think Lovey's had like a little bit of success over here on defense.
Now, that is true.
And so I just can't imagine that Jared Goff or whatever they called a quarterback yesterday for Detroit is going to end up moving the football on the suddenly capable for you know, half a quarter, half a game.
Well,
Lovie Smith defense.
You know, yeah, Lovie Smith defense. Okay, they gave up. Okay, this season, 21, 31, 24, 40, 25, 31, 31, 38. Now, the last 2 weeks, 17 and 13.
Now they've
with 10 turnovers.
They've had some really solid, like, it's been weird watching Lovie's defense because, like, they played okay for, like, a couple of quarters. And, like, you could watch it as the road games started to pile up. Like, Buffalo, it was, like, kind of like, oh, it should have been way worse in the first half, and then they just got destroyed in the second half. And then the Colts, like, it should have been probably way worse in the first half, destroyed again. Like, it went from, like, oh, they played, like, 3.5 solid quarters to, like, 3 quarters to, like, they played a solid half, and then they played, like, a good quarter, and then, like, it just kind of, I like, kept getting
Wait,
worse.
Wait, Cody, you're saying they played a good quarter.
All
right, this is, oh, way to go, Lovie. Your Lovie's defense is really stepping up. They played a good quarter that one game.
It just kept going backwards on them. It was really bad. The Lions are not going to help you out, though. Like, they're not winning another football game.
Oh, I think they win a game. I think they win a game. The Lions, actually, if you look at their it took the Ravens a 62, an NFL record 62-yarder to beat them, whatever it was. It was 68-yarder to beat them. It 13-10 yesterday against the Browns. The Lions are right there week in and week out. Well, not week in and week out, but plenty of times this year.
When's the can of quit come out, though? Like, these guys got to be.
I don't think.
They got to be feeling pretty crappy right now.
I don't think that coach lets him quit. I don't. I mean, he is intense, and I think he's going to have them. I really do. I think the Texans are a much worse football team than the Lions are. Much worse.
The tough part is the Lions have a two-game lead on you, so to speak, for that top spot.
Yeah.
And now New York and Jacksonville jumped you in the race for that top draft pick.
I'd be interested to see how many times they covered against the 49ers. They didn't against the Packers. They covered against the Lions, I'm talking about. Covered against the 49ers. They covered against the Ravens. They covered against the Vikings. They covered against the Rams. They covered against the Steelers. They covered against the Browns. They're exceeding expectations but the Texans are surprisingly covering too. They are. I think they're like right at 500 or maybe even 6-4 right now. I think they're 6-4 against the spread this year, which is unbelievable.
That's phenomenal.
That's
unbelievable.
True.
Yeah, that's very hard to believe. Unbelievable. Right. Unbelievable is a great way to put it.
Unbelievable. All right, 7:13. We're just getting it started. Clayton Tune is going to join us a little bit later in the show so that we can talk to him about how about them Cougs. We got a lot of college football, pro football. We got all kinds of football to talk and a little bit of Astros news thrown in there. And then the Rockets lost too. We will do that and more right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now I'm talking about cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. I don't know that Cody's ever seen my laptop. See, it's right there, Cody. Did you see the Coors Light on there? Do you see? I didn't wear my Coors Light shirt today. But I'm all Coorsed up for one reason. It's because it's my favorite. I'm not Coorsed up right now, per se. But if you saw me this weekend, you might have said, wow, John's all Coorsed up. Coors Light's up. That's right. That's what I do. It's what I love to do. And if you're somebody that likes, look, Cody's got all day. He can go and eat at his favorite restaurant and then drink Coors Lights. He can go take a nap and then drink Coors Lights. He can go drink Coors Lights. He can do all kinds of Coors Light stuff because that's what you can do because it's the world's most refreshed. And you know what he'll be? He'll be refreshed. Whoever drinks Coors Lights, you will be refreshed because it's the world's most refreshing beer. You're looking for a great way to spend your day or this holiday season, pick up 12, 24, 80, I don't care. Pick up Coors Light. It's climb on, brother.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We do a little thing called What'd You Learn This Weekend? And we're going to do it at 7:45. What'd You Learn This Weekend in one sentence? But you got more than one sentence here, Cody. What was the most important thing that you saw this weekend?
NFL standpoint, college standpoint, Ohio State's kind of got it rolling, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they played a couple of games where it was like, okay, the offense is like sputtering. It's not as, you know, nasty as you think it is. And now all the wide receivers are healthy and they're running the football and the quarterback's basically solidified himself as a trip to New York for the Heisman Trophy. And I mean, they're playoff bound. Like, what, I don't know what the number's going to be for Michigan this week. It may already be out, probably is already out. Buckeyes. I mean, Buckeyes. First half, Buckeyes game.
Okay.
Second
okay.
half.
What number would you put on it?
Oh, okay. Without knowing what the number is right now, they were 19 for Michigan State. People are going to think Michigan's a little bit. It may be like 13.
Oh, I think it's going to be more like 17.
You think it's going to be bigger than that?
Yeah. Well, we can see. Maybe. Let's find I have out. Not
is
seen the number
out?
Either.
It's got already. But I
7.5.
What is it?
7.5.
Get the F out of here.
We get those lines emailed to us every day of different things that are going on.
Get
the one that were sent out last night, 7.5.
Oh, over a team that, wait a minute. They destroyed a team that beat Michigan.
Oh, my God.
Are they just trying to give money? It should be 17.
I know what my irresponsible 1001 decision is: going to the bank and pretending I need a loan for something big.
Right.
Betting on Ohio State.
You want to know another interesting line? Your Cougs 32 over UConn.
Well, that should be at least.
I don't think that's enough.
That might be a little low. Might be a little low.
Yeah, that it should be. Yeah, much bigger. We'll ask Clayton who we should bet on. Okay, when he comes in here. Which side should we take, Clayton? You guys are 32-point favorites. Dana will hate that. He does not want any of them to know that they're 32-point favorites. Yeah, you got to
I'll get yelled at.
Oh, yeah. I don't care if you get yelled at. That doesn't bother me.
I care.
That doesn't bother
Cody
me in the least.
Can wrangle you in.
Cincinnati's only 13.5 over East Carolina.
Well, they should took care. I mean, isn't it funny how you watch all these coaches get all this, they get loved up as all these candidates for these other jobs, and their teams go out there and just kind of... Sonny Dykes is probably the biggest example. As soon as he was mentioned for that TCU job, SMU just fell off a cliff. Mario Cristobal this weekend. It's like, oh, Florida, maybe Miami might want Mario Cristobal. Well, Utah got up all in him. Got up all in him. Just put him to sleep.
Forget it. That was another thing, too, is that Oregon beat it. You don't deserve to be in there. And Cincinnati made a huge statement, too. Cincinnati made a big statement. Now, you take it with a grain of salt because it was with SMU, a two-loss team. I believe I was listening to you guys making your picks on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take Cincinnati? No, one of you guys took Cincinnati.
Andrew did.
That was a smart and he was exactly right. They had to have a statement game. They had to make they needed style points. And SMU had lost a couple of games. Their season is pretty much over. Although they will be a bowl team. That Cincinnati would roll him, and Cincinnati did. Cincinnati proved. Now, if you were ranking him this week, if you were in the college football playoff ranking committee, how would you do it?
Georgia won, obviously. And then if I had to put, like, Georgia won, Ohio State 2. And then I would actually probably put, like, again, I don't believe they are this good, but based on how I, like, play the rankings, I'd put Cincinnati 3, and then I'd put Bama 4. I believe Bama would smoke Cincinnati in a matchup, but that's not how you build your rankings. That's not how I build it. It's like, oh, well, how would this team match up with that team? No, that's not how I do it. But yeah, Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Cincinnati 3, Bama 4. I mean, Bama's playing a lot of close games.
Yeah.
Yeah, Arkansas, I mean, didn't have them on the ropes or anything, but Arkansas played them tough.
Yeah, Coach O was right. They're not the same team. They're not the same Bama team. They're just not. They're not as good. I mean, Florida is a bad football team, and we've seen that. And they just barely got by them. They're getting by teams that they should that have no business being on the field with them. I just bet Ohio State. It went from -110 to 115 while I was making the bet. Except the change, but it's still 7.5, which is ridiculous. There's something fishy about that, and usually. Usually, if it's too good to be true, which 7.5 is too good to be true, you go the other way.
This happened a couple of years
ago. There's no chance I would take Michigan in this spot.
This happened a couple of years ago with Ohio State and Michigan, where Ohio State was like, I think it was maybe 10. I think that was maybe the number. And Michigan led at halftime. And I was like, oh, this is, I mean, it was like one of those, like, Ohio State shot themselves in the foot, and like Michigan, yeah, it kind of just like turtled. Well, and, like,
this was Justin Fields. He had a horrible, horrible first half against them.
And then at halftime, the number was like something very tiny. And I was like, here we go.
Yeah. It's Justin Fields had a bad game there. They had a bad game against Wisconsin in back-to-back-to-back games. Now, let's not forget these wide receivers and the way Michigan has played against Ohio State. They can't run with Ohio State.
No.
And Chris Olave is unbelievable. These wide receivers, this is the best wide receiving core in the country, and Michigan can never run with them, and they always play man. They always play man against them, and they're running 5 yards behind them every single time. That Michigan State team looked, oh, my goodness. It was embarrassing.
$94 million doesn't get you what it used to, huh?
So I wonder if Mel Tucker's still high on LSU's list.
I wonder if he's, I mean, I would hope that he's already put ink on that deal, because I'd be looking to drop that number a few mil if I was Michigan State.
Or if I was LSU, I ain't giving you no $12 million no more. Listen, that number was supposed to be stupid. And apparently what I heard is that the governor would love to see a person of color in that position, because they've never had a person of color in that position. So Mel Tucker was at the top of the list, as I understood it. All LSU fans, oh, no, it's going to be Jimbo. It ain't going
to
be Jimbo.
Oh, I would do anything for it to be Jimbo.
Why?
Well, there'd be a sense of, like, smile and revelry in the Aggies' misery, because they thought that their guy was going to be there forever.
Well,
and they have the arrogance to give him this. I'm a tech guy.
Why do you still care about the Aggies?
Well, because I like to just watch them kind of wallow in their misery a little bit. Look, the burnt orange misery.
Why can't we be happy for people?
Because I can't be happy for my football team, so no one should
be
happy.
Why didn't you stop throwing things at people?
That was Oklahoma State fans that were in Lubbock throwing things on the field, not Texas Tech fans. Texas Tech fans have a standing reputation as fans. They would never do anything bad. They would never throw things
again
on the field.
Again, you had to be reprimanded for throwing things on the field.
They got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty for throwing things on the field Saturday.
What is wrong with you people? Now, tortillas is fine, but when you're chucking beer bottles and what's wrong with you?
I still maintain it was Oklahoma State fans. Just the
metal detector determined.
That was a lot.
Why would they do that?
The Oklahoma State punter was chirping Lubbock, and he was like, towns are always, how you can always find out about a town based on the, you know, how their people treat you.
Yeah.
And I've determined that Lubbock's an asshole. Listen here, pal, you're the 100th best punter on the 10th best team in college football. Like, maybe we log off of Twitter on a Sunday.
Slow down. There's a chance. Did you see the Sagarin ratings? Oklahoma State's the fourth best team in the country. According to Sagarin.
I mean, one of the best defenses in college football.
That defense is real. See, and it's got the reputation. Now we'll find out, because Gundy's always he gets so conservative against Oklahoma. He gets so scared to play Oklahoma. I mean, if he can convince these guys, because I think they've got that little brother complex against Oklahoma.
Sure.
If he can convince his players that they're actually better than Oklahoma, which they are, they'll win both games, because they got to play them back to back. They'll win both of those games against Oklahoma. And I think now all of a sudden, now you've got yourself a real conundrum. I don't even know if it's a conundrum, because Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game. Oklahoma State should go. Oklahoma State, if they can beat Oklahoma back to back, and they've got, they have been so, I think, underranked over this time. The only loss that they've got is a 3-point loss to Iowa State, at Iowa State. And otherwise, they've been mowing through people.
Now, does Oklahoma still go to the Big 12 championship? They lose to Oklahoma State this week?
Yeah, because of Iowa State losing again.
Well, Baylor doesn't go, because they have head-to-head over Oklahoma. They only have two losses right now. That'd be the second loss for Oklahoma.
You may be right. Yeah, if
Okie State and Baylor in the Big 12 championship?
Well, just a couple. Baylor played OU just a couple of years ago, right? Baylor just always mucks it up if they're going to go. You may be right.
I mean, Baylor's going to beat Texas Tech this weekend. Spoiler alert: Baylor's going to beat Texas Tech, and then they're going to have two conference losses. And then if Okie State beats Oklahoma,
right,
that's two losses for Oklahoma.
Tie, Three-way tie, Oklahoma State beat Baylor. Baylor beat Oklahoma.
Well, it wouldn't be three-way.
But Oklahoma State, it would be a three-way tie.
Yeah, because
it would be a two-way tie for second, and they would win. They would go. Yeah, Baylor would go. You're right.
Baylor, Oklahoma State, Big 12 championship.
Well, get used to it. Because with Texas and Oklahoma leaving, guess who's the best team in the Big 12? Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State's right there. And guess what? With Dave Aranda, Baylor's right there, too.
But, John, Cincinnati's coming. They're going to be amazing in the Big 12.
Hey. And Houston's coming.
Houston's coming.
Where do you place right now Houston and Cincinnati in the Big 12?
Well, Cincinnati would be the best team, right? I mean, obviously, they haven't played a Big 12 schedule, but Cincinnati would be the best team based off what we know about them so far this year.
I'm not so sure. Playing a Big 12 schedule, I'm not so sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no Navy and Tulane that show up in the middle of the year.
Right.
And you replace that with
Kansas?
That's true.
You replace that with Kansas and TCU?
That's true.
I mean, because they've been bad. Oh, yeah, that's right, TCU. I said it. You guys have sucked lately. And let's see who your coach is going to be. West Virginia is mediocre. Texas Tech. I think Houston and Cincinnati and Boise even are all competing near the top.
Okie State, Cincinnati, Oklahoma.
BYU, excuse me.
Okie State, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, Houston would be the top four if the Big 12, if the Cougars were in the Big 12 now.
Oklahoma State, Baylor, Cincinnati, and Houston and BYU would be fighting, I think, for that fourth spot. Well, we'll see, because Houston might be better than Cincinnati, and we'll find out on December 4th.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one, isn't it?
That'll be really good. 729 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk about Golden Nugget. If you're looking for a great, great time, just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road, we're heading there. As a matter of fact, we got a room for a couple of nights over the Christmas holiday, and it's just going to be so much fun. There's everything to do there. If you're looking for great restaurants, it's just perfect. You got the Steakhouse, the Vic and Anthony's. You got the Chart House, which is just gorgeous, and it's the seafood place. You've got, you want to go a little bit, like, you got Saltgrass, you got Grotto, you got a Claim Jumper, you got open 24 hours. It's nonstop. It just can't be better. And the casino can't be nicer. It's like it's still brand new. The hotel is still like it's all brand new. The pool is gorgeous. You get a cabana, or you just sit on the chairs with the lazy river. Even in the winter, you can go out there because the pool is heated. It's just perfect. And then the golf course, which is awesome as well. You're looking for a great getaway, just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. You don't have to go to Vegas anymore. You got sports betting at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. Get to Lake Charles and go to the Golden Nugget.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I don't think there's any way they can keep Cincinnati out of the top four this week. I know Notre Dame won 55-0, but there is zero. If they keep them out again of the top after Ohio State is going to be in. There's no question. In the AP, it's Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Cincinnati. Notre Dame is fifth. Michigan is sixth. Oklahoma State seventh. I don't see any other way to do it other than that. You cannot put Notre Dame ahead of Cincinnati when Cincinnati beat them. And I know the committee doesn't care about that because they put Michigan ahead of Michigan State even when Michigan lost to Michigan State.
But wasn't that one of their big arguments for where Oregon was ranked too, though? Like, Oregon beat Ohio State.
So they got to be ahead of them. Yeah, no, they're not. They're just not as good. It's just not even arguable.
Any chance? And look, the committee does weird stuff, so I don't think this is a really that weird of a question. Any chance that Michigan is ahead of Cincinnati and Notre Dame, just so they can have a big time top four teams squaring off for 1 week?
No. You can't. No. Michigan has not looked. No, and especially that Michigan State loss now
looks really bad.
Really bad. Mm-hmm. No, they that would be. How did Houston fall two slots? by winning 31-13 in the AP poll. How the hell do you fall two slots? What's wrong with you, AP?
That's a good question.
Let's get Mark in here. He wants to talk about the LSU job. What do you say, Mark? How are you?
Good morning, guys. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the Reese Davis assertion that Bill O'Brien is going to be the next head coach of the LSU Tigers.
Shut his
face. Just
wanted
to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah,
Mark, I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I tell him to shut his face. It's stupid, that stupid pie hole of his. Nobody wants to hear crappy stuff like, if Bill O'Brien is the head coach of LSU, I will never, ever, ever watch an LSU game again. Ever, ever. What has Bill O'Brien done at Alabama to show you that he is, that he should be a head coach at a major university? What has he done?
Can you imagine him sitting down in the living room of a top high school recruit in Louisiana? You imagine how out of place that guy would be? Sitting in a room.
A mass hole like he is in southern Louisiana, where it couldn't be more hospitable. And Bill O'Brien in there. Yeah, you need to come here, jerk. You better get over here. He's an A. If he's the... Oh, my gosh.
Can he even get his precious Boston Globe delivered in Baton Rouge? That was the big thing here in Houston. He still he got the... I get the Chronicle and the Globe every day. Like, oh, really?
Who
really,
cares?
Bill?
Who
really
cares? Bill? Who cares what
he's
going
to get a job, though, right? Like
yeah,
there's so many
I
openings.
When Hugh Freeze leaves at Liberty, that opens up, you know. But LSU?
He's not getting LSU.
What the hell has he done? Oh, my God. I would rather take James Franklin. Couldn't have screwed up Penn State any worse this year, but I'll take James Franklin any day. I take... Oh my goodness! You can't don't even.
It kind of sickens
shut
you.
Up, Reese Davis. No,
it sickens
shut
you
up.
A little bit.
I would
it?
Rather have Lane Kiffin.
Oh yeah,
much rather
for
have Lane
sure.
Kiffin. Much rather have Lane
for
Kiffin.
Sure.
Anybody? What are you talking about, Reese Davis? Shut your face! I want to hear your stuff. LSU Brian wants to chime in on that. What do you say, LSU Brian? You there? No, LSU Brian's not there. You there, Brian? Not there. If you got some thoughts on that, 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We touched briefly on the NFL and what the heck has happened, Cody. The standings, right? It's so the Patriots are now leading their division. The Bills are the last team in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so. They're 6-4. They don't look like a good football team. They lost to the Jaguars. They look like a bad foot. The Colts whooped that ass yesterday.
The Colts, I mean, it looked like the Colts were playing the Texans. Like that's what it looked like. The Colts were getting whatever they wanted on offense, and the Bills came in with statistically one of the better defenses in football. Oh, and then Jonathan Taylor has like one of the best days ever for a running back. 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. One of the best ever. So the wild card teams right now are the Bengals, the Chargers, and the Bills, with the Steelers just outside looking in. And then the Colts right behind them. If you had to rank those teams, obviously the Colts would be ahead of the Bills. They just beat the snot out of them in Buffalo. The Colts are better than the Chargers right now. The Colts are better than the Bengals right now. Oh, the Bengals are a pretty good football team. The Colts are the Colts will be in the playoffs.
For sure.
11 games in, we got 6 to go. The Colts are playing some really, really good football, defensively and offensively.
You feel like the Colts are going to catch the Titans?
The Colts have a chance to catch the Titans now, just 2 games back. And they play each other.
The Colts have already lost.
Done. Yeah, they've
both
lost
times
twice.
To the Titans.
Oh, then they'd have to have the tiebreaker as well. They've lost to them twice.
This is not the easiest schedule left for the Colts, but it's not the toughest schedule left. The Bucks and Pats are the notable opponents that they have. Bucks, Pats, and Cardinals they have left, but they also have the Texans, the Raiders, who will be in full-on quit mode by that time, and then Jacksonville to finish the year. So they're definitely, I think, I agree with you. I definitely see the Colts in the playoffs, although we say this, and 3 weeks from now the Colts might be like, you know, have lost 3 straight and just been terrible for some reason, some ungodly reason, but is the AFC is just on its head every week. I definitely feel like they're a playoff team, for sure. Well, I trust them a lot more than I trust Cincinnati keeping it going. I trust them a lot more than the Chargers, who are very Jekyll and Hyde each week. Like, yeah. One week it's like, oh, Justin Herbert's amazing. The next week it's like, oh, we don't trust him to throw the football a bunch. It's like, I trust the Colts. Like, they have a high floor for me that they've showcased, especially with John. I mean, look, hey, people were saying, oh, hey, the MVPs are running back in the AFC South. You're right. It's not Derrick Henry now, though. It's Jonathan Taylor.
Right.
He's a freak.
He is a freak. He's playing great football. And listen, they got the Bucs next week. The Bucs in Indianapolis. You can't trust the Bucs on the road, actually, if you want to know the truth. They're not. Listen, they weren't a dominant football team last year either until they got to the end. And actually, their first playoff game, they barely got by Washington at Washington. But at the Texans and then the Patriots after that and then at the Cardinals. So this is a tough stretch right here other than the Texans game. They got the Bucs at the Texans, the Patriots at the Cardinals. Three of those four teams are really, really good. I don't know how good the Patriots are, though, because look at their schedule. They have been playing a bunch of nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, is when we'll find out what the Patriots are. The Patriots, their schedule coming up here, well, they got the Titans at home, and now we've seen that the Titans maybe ain't all that. At the Bills, which maybe the Bills ain't all that. At the Colts, and then the Bills again at home. So we'll find out whether or not, you know what, if you want to know the truth, Patriots might be the second best team in the AFC right now. It might be Chiefs and then Patriots and then Colts. It has changed. How drastically has this thing changed?
Where are you on? I mean, obviously Lamar didn't play yesterday. Where are you on Baltimore?
They're so up and down, dude. They've won how many one possession games?
Too many.
What, really?
Too many.
I mean, they are a one possession, and that's a little bit scary when you get to the postseason, is that you got to have everything go your way. I know that makes you tougher. It makes you, more determined. Winning close games is important, but man, that's every single week for them. They can't put anybody away.
Four of their next five are all divisional games, and you know, in like the AFC North, the divisional games are just. It's dialed up just a little bit more. Like, it means a little bit more. And that could determine who's winning that. The next 5 weeks for the Ravens could determine who's winning the AFC North.
I'm not sure how good the AFC North is, though. Are you?
No. It's definitely, Baker Mayfield has cost himself millions and millions of dollars trying to play through an injury.
Man, they look bad. The Browns two out of the next 3 weeks.
The Steelers flip-flop between washed and, well, Mike Tomlin's a really good coach, so they hang around.
Yeah, Ben Beck is better. How about the Steelers ended up covering yesterday when they were getting their ass handed to them, and they ended up covering a-hole? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780. We've been pretty good at this, so come on in. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get it, tell us what you learned this weekend. And it doesn't have to be sports related. It could be anything that you learned. Whatever it is, 713-780-3776.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. We do this every week at 7:45. It's what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Not a long run-on sentence, and not that, okay? One sentence. It can be compound, but it can't be run-on, okay? What did you learn? And when somebody gets off, you can get back on. 713-780-3776. You want to start us?
This is a lot of pressure, but I feel like I got this. Okay. Just one sentence on what I learned.
Okay, there was your sentence.
Okay, here we go. The race to the bottom of the NFL standings is harder than I thought it was for the Texans.
Okay. Yeah, they could screw up a soup sandwich, couldn't they? 713-780-3777. Do you see how the Jets regretted? Mm-hmm. Now, Texans, guess what you're going to regret? You're going to regret this. You're going to regret this win, Congratulations. Ben is first up. Hey, Ben, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. The Texans are cover machines. Do not bet the Titans live three times in second half like I did.
Okay. The Texans are covering machines. Do not bet the Titans three times. No. Chris, what did you learn this weekend?
Hey there, guys. Thank you for having me. J.J. Watt is correct about the Cardinals.
J.J. Watt is correct about the Cardinals, and he says the Cardinals are the best team. What if we're the best team? That's what J.J. Watt said about them.
And then he was, well, they always making excuses for us of why we're not good. Right.
Trying to find out why we're not the best. Well, and they're doing it with Colt McCoy, too, by the way.
Right.
And without D-Hop.
Kyler's going to be healthy after the bye next week.
Yeah.
Could be kind of dangerous.
They're dangerous. There's no question. All right, 713-780-3776. Get in. Chad, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that by far the Glock 43 that I bought this weekend is the best carry hand, concealed carry handgun I've ever had in my life.
Nice. Nice. He's got a new Glock, so... Listen, if you happen to meet Chad on the road, don't cut him off. Don't cut him off, okay? Because he sounds like a dude that's going to have some road rage and a Glock. Brian, what did you learn this weekend, Brian?
I learned that the Texans will let you down when you bet against them in the Survivor Pool.
Oh, man. You know how many people got taken down in Survivor with Tennessee? Do you know how many people... That is awful. Sorry to hear that. The Texans let you down. Ocho, ¿qué pasó, Ocho?
Yeah, I learned a cool nickname for the best backup quarterback in the NFL, Goat McCoy.
Goat McCoy. You know, he is. That's, you know, if you lose your quarterback and you got Colt McCoy, I guess Marcus Mariota, I guess. I mean, listen, the Red Rocket came in this weekend. You know what? Colt McCoy is not a bad option as far as backup quarterbacks go.
He's got to be among the first three or four you'd want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Easily.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Juan, ¿qué pasó, Juan?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. This weekend, I learned that Mac Jones is the second coming of Tom Brady.
Well, you learned that Thursday, but you know what? It doesn't look much different, does it? Other than Tom Brady just ran the game, and Mac Jones. It almost looks the same, though. I mean, with your human eye, you're like, oh, they look like they're the same team.
It feels like, I know it's not, it doesn't look the exact same. It feels a little bit like McDaniels is kind of helping him a ton. Yeah. Kind of like, you remember when McVay and Goff, that was the whole storyline where they kind of, McVay basically did everything for him when he could hear him. And then right after the headset cut. It was like Goff was a disaster usually. It feels like McDaniels is like really protecting him and doing a lot for him. Let's see when he has to like actually unleash.
Well, right. And it looks like their defense is really, really, really good. But it's almost like Bill Belichick has to have an unathletic white guy at quarterback to win football games. And look, it's the same thing. Hunter is here. What'd you learn this weekend, Hunter?
Hey, guys. I learned that UTSA and U of H are the new Aggies and Longhorns of college football.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I don't know where U of H and UTSA rank in as far as Texas football go, but they're up there, that's for sure. I know it's not Texas.
They play next year.
Do they?
Yeah, out of conference.
Oh, nice. Good for them. John is here. What'd you learn this weekend, John?
I learned that Christina, who worked at Patrick's on the Strand in Galvatraz, makes a damn good Bloody Mary.
Nice. Christina, way to go. You know what? That's important in life, to make a damn good Bloody Mary. Good for you, Christina, on the Strand. Let's get Tom in here. Hey, Tom, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that diehard Oakland fans now hate the city of Las Vegas.
They hate the city of Las Vegas. Well, they took their team, but I would imagine a lot of those diehard fans travel now to go see the Raiders there. If you're a diehard fan, I would imagine you go there to see them. And you got to – I can't agree with those people because I love Las Vegas. Las Vegas is one of the great cities in the history of man. Will, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that the Indianapolis Colts will absolutely maul your ass.
That's true. They will maul your ass right now. They're starting to come together. That looks like a good football team. That looks like a good football team. Ask Buffalo and ask those table jumpers how they feel about the Colts right now. Lamont, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that if a white guy killed two white guys, that's white supremacy and racism. That's all.
It is funny how that worked out. What a racist that little dude, that little Lord Lucroy or whatever his name is. Didn't he look like a little?
You tried this
little Lord,
the guy from Shrek.
No, is that who it is? That little Lord Lucroy? Is that who that is? No, he looks like a really rich British guy. If you put a little crown on his head or something,
like a duke.
Yeah, and you just want to slap him,
like an earl or something.
Yeah, a little, you know, the son of an earl. You know,
oh, there you go. Yeah, there it is. There it is.
So. Well, why is he racist? I don't understand. You're right, Lamont. Everybody's that racist killing those people. He killed white people. James, what'd you learn this weekend?
And I learned that the Dallas offensive line doesn't know how to attack a defensive line.
Thank you. That was interesting, that game. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Will, what did you learn this weekend?
As of yesterday afternoon, there will be a Gooch in the Masters.
As of yesterday afternoon, there will be a Gooch in the Masters. Way to go. Yeah, Taylor Gooch. That's an Oklahoma State guy, by the way. Congratulations to Taylor Gooch. In the Masters. Congratulations to him. He sails to victory at the RSM Classic for first PGA Tour win. Congratulations to Taylor Gooch, Oklahoma State. Thank you. Good night. I learned that my mom might still be alive. I will explain that. I learned this weekend that my mom might still be alive. I'll explain that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, however... And by the way, great job again, people. You guys really respond to that segment. We really appreciate it. Y'all are great at it. Right now, though, I'm talking about my peeps over at Aqueduct Plumbing. I really do. Listen, it's so important. The most important thing for me as far as this goes is that you can trust the plumber, that he's actually going to give you, he or she is actually going to give you the estimate, going to do the job, the work that they say they're going to do. Because a lot of it is underneath wherever. It's if you're talking about pipes. You can't see the new pipes. You got to just trust. You don't know. I mean, unless you get a bunch of offers on how much it's going to be. And oh, by the way, you can't trust, you know, that they're going to put in all of their stuff or that they're how they're repiping or whatever they're doing. You got to be able to trust those people. And I love these people at Aqueduct Plumbing. When you call, 90% of the time, you're talking to the owner, Mary, Billy. They are so nice, so good. And they do, and they will go all over the city. Free estimate on site. They'll arrive at your door. Installation will be done by them, not a subcontractor. You get a professional job at a direct price. Give them a call, 281-488-6238. You have any plumbing issues whatsoever, you got water tank issues, cracks, you've got a repipe, weird noises coming out when you turn on the water, thebenchplumbing.com. 281-488-6238. Aqueduct Plumbing Company. We love them. You'll love them. Aqueduct Plumbing. They're at your disposal.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.